What better way to start out with a history of KBOA than to talk to the man who was general manager at KBOA for some 20 years, Paul C. Jones. He told us in an interview how the idea of a radio station for Kennett was spawned.
Well, it started, Jeff, at a meeting of a group of members of the local Chamber of Commerce, which was not too active at that time. And as individuals, many of us had been looking around to see what we could do to add to the business in the community and to render a public service to the people in the outlying trade territory. And that was the way we got to talking, and it developed during this meeting that Mr. Charles Baker, who the Baker Implement Company and other business in which he's associated, and who has always been a very active, public-spirited leader in this community, he mentioned the fact that he had been gathering information on a radio station for Kennett. Well, it happened that I had been doing the same thing while I was keeping as busy as I needed to be, I guess, in the newspaper business and in politics. At that time, I think I was chairman of the State Highway Commission, too. But we found that when we got to discussing what each of us had done in the way of accumulating information and trying to find out how we might get started and what needed to keep a good station on the air, and we didn't try to have a scientific study or survey made, but through my work in the newspaper business, I knew that there was an opportunity there for people, and we continued to explore that avenue and had other later meetings.
You weren't in the newspaper business anymore at that particular time, were you?
Yes, I was still. My brother and I owned the twice-a-week Dunklin Democrat at that time.
That was in, what, 46, 47?
46, and we actually started in exploring this thing in the latter part of 45, and it was not until 46 that we began filing an application. Now, my father and brother and myself were in the newspaper business. It had been established back in 1893, and I had grown up in the newspaper business. And we were getting out a good newspaper, but I felt like that this would work in with the newspaper. And while I was the only one who was interested financially in both the newspaper and the radio station, we had a working relationship that was beneficial to both the newspaper and the radio. My father and brother just didn't care or weren't interested in going into the radio business and wanted to continue to devote all of their time to the newspaper.
Mr. Jones then explained how the call letters of KBOA came to be, as well as how the frequency 830 was approved.
When we filed our application, I had presented a number of suggested call letters. One of them I know that I thought that would make a good call letter was KENT, but another station down in Texas had that. And then there were other combinations of alphabet that came to mind. But none of the ones that we suggested were given any consideration by the FCC, and they were the ones that selected KBOA.
So the call letters KBOA don't really mean anything then?
They didn't mean anything at all, except a license to get on the air.
Okay, now, you told me a story at one time about our frequency, 830. That was not the frequency that you thought you were going to get, or how does that story go now?
No, we had... And, of course, when you get ready to file an application, you have to have an engineer in Washington. I say you have to have. They tell you you don't. But then you try to get it without it, you're in hard luck. So we had an engineer, and we had an attorney in Washington, D.C., and they were both supposed to be helping with our application. I forget the frequency that we had determined, or that the engineer had determined would work best in this section. And we had filed the application for a 500-watt daytime station, and we're working on that. Well, the next thing I knew, we had developed at some other town. We're applying for the same thing, and we were in a conflict there, and it had to be resolved, and we began looking for another frequency.
A town in the same area?
No, it wasn't in the same area, but it was close enough that...
would interfere with each other.
That it would. So anyway, to make a long story short, the next thing I knew, they had come through and had approved the license for an 830,000-watt station on a clear channel. And at that time, and I think since then also, I don't think there's been any change, there were only three radio stations in the United States that were on 830 a.m.
Mr. Jones tells here how he came to hire the first three employees of the station, Bob Connor, Ray Van Hooser, and John T. Reeder.
Of course, listing different stations around, and of course, one of the nearest stations to us was Blytheville, KLCN. And, Bob Connor, who came here as chief engineer, we never did hire anybody away from KLCN.
Well, he had already left KLCN.
He had already left there. And later, we got in touch with Ray Van Hooser, who was the station manager and the program director and everything else. And Johnny Mack, or John Reeder, his name, John Tom Reeder, he had worked for KLCN. But all three of those fellows had worked down there, and their voices and their reputation was somewhat known over this whole area. And we made an agreement and gave them an opportunity to participate as if they wanted to buy some stock in the station.
Some 30 people invested the original $50,000 to put KBOA in the air in 1947. The original board of directors included Paul C. Jones, Earl Vandiver, Dr. E. L. Spence, Sam Graber, and Hal H. McCaney. Mr. Jones talks here about these and others who were involved with the station during the early days.
Most of those people went into this and put up the money. And actually, I know from their own statements and from observation that they didn't expect to get anything out of it. They thought they were just doing something to help the community. And all of these were public-spirited citizens. And like Earl Jones, the president and one of the main stockholders in the Cotton Exchange Bank at that time. Sam Graber, who had the Graber store here. Julius Kahn, Dr. Spence, H.R. Kribble, who was a former penny manager, E.K. Striegel, Earl Vandiver, Al McCaney, Charles Baker, James Kahn. Well, there's a whole raft of people like that. And then later, as we begun pulling the thing together, but at one time, it was possible for anyone who was interested could have invested some money in the radio station, because we were at one time having difficulty of getting enough people willing to risk the $50,000 that we used as a starter there. And we had a good crowd, and about half of them stayed in there. Some of the others sold their stock to different people. I bought all the stock that I could and could raise the money or borrow from different places, because I was sold and I knew that it could be a profitable venture. But a lot of people didn't realize that and didn't believe it.
That was Paul C. Jones, who was general manager and part owner of KBOA for some 20 years. Now, as we told you a few moments ago, Bob Connor, who of course has been with the station for 29 years, retiring and going to do a little fishing, as Bob says, he told us how he came to come to KBOA.
Well, I was hired here, but I'd already promised to build a station in Yazoo City. Mr. Jones found out I was leaving Blytheville. He came down and hired me. And I went on down and built a station in Yazoo City and came back up here. Started work here on June the 5th, 47.
And then he goes on to tell who made up the staff when the station first went on the air.
Well, it was me, Johnny Mack, Ray Bann, Norman Chainberg started announcing when we first came on, I guess, first day or two anyhow. And then we had a girl, we had two girls that were hired before we went on the air. Bernice Davis and Fred Ford's daughter.
And he talks a little bit here about the live talent that was on at the time.
Oh, we had, most of our stuff was live. We had live talent all over the joint. We had two studios here. We had a big studio where the automation is, plus the production room for FM. That was all one big studio. We had live bands, quartets. Up there where we have the AM production now was a small studio, or one was on the air, the other one's up there tuning up, getting ready to go on the air. We had as many as five or six live programs a day.
Bob Connor, of course, with his station since it went on the air in its inception back in 1947, relays an interesting story about a former employee.
And we had one old boy down here at Blytheville. I worked down there a while. We had one old boy that worked down there, and he copied news all the time, and he was pretty good at it. And he was copying stock markets one time, and he came down to Santa Fe down 3 points, and it was close to Christmas. He said, Santa Fe down 3 points, Santa Claus up 40 points, so-and-so up another. And so a newscaster, he read it right on the air, you know, before he caught it.
Bob Connor with a humorous story about a former announcer at KLC and in Blytheville. Of course, as we mentioned a moment ago, we had a going-away party for Bob Connor several weeks ago here at the studios, in which a lot of the former employees and present employees and friends of Bob Connor were invited to come out and say goodbye to him. He is retiring and moving to Little Rock, and while we had that particular thing here, we managed to corner John T. Reeder, Johnny Mack, as he was known for many years, and of course John was station manager here at KBOA for quite a while. We managed to get an interview with him.
John, you were one of the original staff members at KBOA. You started back, I guess, when the station started. You came from
June 1947.
You came up, I understand. I was talking to Bob Connor the other day, and Bob said that you all came up together. You, he, and Ray Van.
Ray Van.
And how long had you worked at Blytheville? KLCN, I guess, right?
Well, actually, I came here directly from Capital Radio Engineering Institute in Washington, D.C. I'd worked at Blytheville previously in 1941, prior to the war, then at the Blytheville Air Base as a technician during war years, and after the war was over, went to school and came here directly out of electronics school.
Where are you originally from?
Blytheville's my home.
Blytheville is your home, then.
Mm-hmm.
We were looking at some old newspaper clippings, and it's so fascinating, and then hearing you talk down outside a little while ago. Of course, this is being recorded the day that we had the get-together for Bob Connor, giving him a grand send-off, so to speak. But you were talking to Joe Kerr about the Old Man on the Farm program, and
it's been
a long time since I thought about that. That's been a couple of years ago.
There may be a few people who heard some of those Old Man on the Farm shows, yes.
It's interesting. One of the articles I read said that one of the announcers coming to KBOA when they go on the air was Tom Reeder. And I thought at first, I looked at the article and I said, that must be a misprint. And Bob Connor said, no. Said he called himself Tom Reeder at the time. Of course, your name is John T. Reeder, John Thomas, I guess.
That's it.
And what prompted you to change your name when you came here to Johnny Mack?
Well, at the time, and you have to remember this was 1947, it was very popular among the radio announcer and disc jockey types to take a radio name.
Well, it's still being done.
Well, I'm sure it's still being done, but more so then than now, even. And one thing that did was kind of separate your private life from your public life. And it has that effect. plus the fact that Reeder is a hard name to catch on the air.
Mm-hmm.
And Mac certainly said, couldn't be confused right. with anything else. It's easy to understand.
Well, you know, it's funny. My name, Jeff, a lot of people take it as Jess.
Oh, yeah.
And any number of other combinations. Yeah. But I know, you know you're with the Arkansas Radio Network out of Little Rock,
right.
I believe, right? And you were with the station, let's see, from you came when they went on the air in 1947 through when?
Well, Bob Connor and I started in putting the station on the air, you know, prior to the first day of operation even. So Connor and Ray Vann and I predate the on-the-air date of the station quite a bit, because it took about 2 months to get everything put together.
Were there any other announcers besides yourself and Ray Vann?
Those three people were the only employees at the time, of course, with Paul C. Jones as the principal in the getting of the station into the Kennett area.
Well, back in those days, there weren't the number of radio stations, of course, there are now.
Oh, no.
How did you go about deciding what you were going to put on the air? What kind of programs? Did you have trouble getting records?
Oh, yes. Originally, that was a very big problem. And I believe at one point we bought a stock of records from a jukebox operator who had a bunch of old records that he wasn't using. And we didn't have any library as such, so
we bought
a complete supply of records from a jukebox operator.
In the early days of KBOA, a matter of fact, up through the 50s, I guess into possibly the 52, 53, 54 era, there was still quite a bit of live programming on the station.
Oh, yes. We started with live bands in the testing period. That's prior to going on the air with full-scale programming. After midnight, you could go on the air with a station that was about to be licensed and test. And we'd have live bands who'd been out on a date playing for a dance or something. They'd come back by and play for a couple of hours, and we'd actually be on the air and got letters from all over the place, New Zealand and all over the world.
I understand that there were a lot of people, of course, ham operators were picking up skips and whatnot. I guess it'd been a lot easier at that time than it would be now.
Oh, yeah, there weren't as many stations on the air, for one thing, and 830 kilocycles is a very good frequency for long-distance propagation.
It's fascinating to think on the one of the bulletin boards downstairs, somebody has dug up a picture of the National Hillbillies, who at one time were among the live artists here. It was one of their publicity pictures that said the National Hillbillies on KBOA and had the picture and the people identified. Of course, the Wilburn family, which was made up of Doyle and Teddy Wilburn among the rest of the family, were live people.
Oh, yeah, Mom and Pop and at least four of the brothers at one time. And they sort of came and went, you know, the family.
Right.
Was not all together all of the time.
And, of course, the McDonald family, the McDonald brothers.
Oh, sure.
Who,
yeah.
Possibly, other than the Wilburn brothers, who weren't the Wilburn brothers at that time, but maybe as well-known a group that ever came out of here, I guess, for a local group.
Very likely. Popular. And Chuck Harding and the Cowboys were one of the early, very early groups that came through and stayed for a long time.
Right now, we want to play a couple of things for you. We went back and dug into the drawers and the files here and came up with some of the old jingles and things. We thought we'd play a few of those for you, like this one.
KBOA Community Highlights.
That, of course, for a long time was our lead-in to a Community Highlights program that we featured at 15 minutes past the hour every hour throughout the day. Of course, that has since changed, and we throw in Community Highlights all day long throughout the hour. And this was our sports review theme.
KBOA Sports Review.
There were several sports review themes, and we'll have some more for you coming up in just a few moments. This was a lead into the weather at one time.
KBOA Instant Weather.
We'll have the weather for you in a moment. How about this lead-in for the news?
KBOA, latest news.
And this was a plug for sports on KBOA for a long time.
The spot on your dial for the best in sports, KBOA FM.
Of course, that was before we changed the call letters on KBOA-FM to KTMO. And during the early days of KBOA's operation, the first summer for that matter, when we were on the air in 1947 and before KBOA-FM equipment had been installed, St. Louis Cardinal baseball games were being carried during the daylight hours on KBOA. But of course, our sun-up-to-sunset operation wouldn't let us broadcast at night. So during the summer, the Cardinals were a red-hot team, and a lot of the fans in southeast Missouri were very avid Cardinal fans. Well, the baseball loop or telephone line to St. Louis was available, and it was hooked up in order to listen to the ball games over the station monitor, although it could not be broadcast, of course, because they were at night. But a growing group of fans started dropping by to listen to the ball games, until the staff members of KBOA had to install a public address system to cover the hundreds of cars which would park on the KBOA grounds and along Highway 25. One of the employees at the time was quoted as saying, "We didn't know it at the time, but we were operating the first drive-in in southeast Missouri, and we didn't make a cent, but we sure did keep some Cardinal fans happy." You're listening to Grapevine and the History of KBOA with Jeff Wheeler on hand here on this Friday afternoon. Of course, if you've been listening today or have heard us plugging the fact, we, of course, are in the process of our bicentennial salute to music here at KBOA, which will continue throughout the day, tomorrow, and Sunday, featuring some great, great old music. Now, we want to continue playing some of these featured jingles that you heard through the years. But first of all, I think we've got a call.
Yes, you're on the air with Grapevine.
Yeah, Jeff, you know when you was first on KBOA, how long was you on there?
You mean the first trip around?
Uh-huh.
Okay. I started in February of 1962 and went till November of 66 when I was drafted by Uncle Sam.
Yeah.
I went in the Army and I came back in November of 68.
Mm-hmm.
Got a little feedback there from a radio.
Yeah, and also you going to play that theme about KBOA Sports-A-Rama?
Yeah, I've got that on tape, too, and I'll be playing that in a little bit.
Okay, thank you.
Okay,
and glad I could answer those questions. Okay, I started here in February of 1962. I was hired by Johnny Mack, John Reeder, and I kidded John when we had our interview about something he told me the first time I applied for summer work in 1960, I believe it was. I came to the station and applied for some summer work in 1960 while I was going to Arkansas State, and he listened to my audition tape. I really thought I was good. John told me, said, sorry, we've got two or three fellows who are better than you are. So he didn't hire me, and my balloon was busted, needless to say. At any rate, it's 26 minutes before 2 o'clock, and let's continue with some of these feature things we were playing a moment ago.
Sports, sports, sports. Late reports in the world of sports. Have you heard who won, what scores were made? How'd the game come out? We bring the scores to you on the KBOA Sports Review.
One of the older sports jingles you used to hear here at Information Radio, and I've got an interesting thing that I want to play for you now. And going through some of the old jingles, I came across not only personalized station-wise, but personalized as far as the announcers were concerned. We had some jingles at one time that had the singers singing the station call letters and singing the names of the various announcers. Here's one. The fella still works here. He's not on the air. He's the manager of our FM station, KTMO, now. Give a listen to this, I think.
KTMO for the Charlie Austin Show.
I knew I would get it in just a second. Okay, we let me play another one for you. Same man.
Here's Charlie Austin.
And a number of years ago, radio, KBOA in particular, was block formatted. In other words, you had an hour of country music, then an hour of gospel, then an hour of easy listening, then an hour of rock, and an hour of this and an hour of that. That's what they called block formatting. Well, for a long period of time, from 11:05 till 12 noon, we had a program called Noonday Serenade. And coming out of Noonday Serenade was Johnny Mack with the news.
Stay tuned for the latest news.
Johnny Mack reports for you.
There's weather and sports and the market reports and community announcements too.
Of course, that led into the news with Johnny Mack, and during Noonday Serenade, the host at that time was Harry Fairchild.
Harry's got the records on Noonday Serenade. Country music's coming out your way. So join the celebration on your information station, KBOA.
Okay, that's been a long time. Harry Fairchild, of course, now, as some of you may know, works for WMC Television. He's an engineer with WMC now in Memphis, Tennessee. And one of the early employees at KBOA is a man who's still in radio here in Kennett, working at KBXM now. He's manager at the other station. Rudy Pilant opened up every morning with a show called Rise and Shine.
Wake up with music. With a smile, rise and shine with Rudy for music country style. Good morning from KBOA Radio.
Oh, I tell you, some of the things we used to play. A program that followed the Rise and Shine program for many, many years, well, from its inception, from the station's inception, was a thing called Old Camp Meeting Time, and it's still on the air. The original sponsor of Old Camp Meeting Time was Gobbler Mercantile Company of Gobbler, Missouri, and they remained a sponsor until March 31st, 1956, when fire destroyed the Gobbler Mercantile Company. Here was another one of those weather jingles.
KBOA, with the weather.
We used to have a show on Sunday afternoon, for a long time, called the Top 100 Show.
You're a member of the swinging group. It's the Big 830 listening troupe. KBOA has more in store right here in Kennettown. KBOA has the Top 100 sound.
And there was a weekend jingle, too, if I can get it.
Everyone step and dance beat to the sound that can't be beat. A Saturday musical treat, style KBOA.
And a fellow who worked here for many years for a while worked part-time and eventually became a full-time employee, now has his own recording studio just down the bypass from us here, Joe Keen.
Everything is fine cause you are here, swinging with the Joe Keen Show.
Of course, Joe worked here for quite a few years.
Joe Keen is here. Hi there. Tell us what you're gonna do.
Here's one that featured some homemade sound effects, and I don't know if you'll recognize the voice or not.
Coming out of Studio 2 on Old Blue is Tex Williams in the Bulldog Game Contest.
That was some rodeo sound effects, and the quality's not real good, but it was the voice of John Reeder with some homemade sound effects, and this was a commercial, and it's quite scratchy, I might add, before we play it, for something that cotton pickers use.
Cotton pickers. How many times have you found your job really painful because of sore and chapped hands? Now, at last, somebody has done something about this condition. Cotton Picker's Friend is on the market. A scientifically blended preparation manufactured especially for cotton pickers' hands. When used daily, helps prevent chapping, promotes healing, and, in general, keeps your hands in tip-top condition for picking cotton. It's a cinch.
Cotton Picker's Friend.
With sore, chapped hands.
Well, there's not much cotton picking going on now due to mechanical pickers, of course, and One time there was a shoe outlet in Zenith called Brooks Factory Outlet Shoes, and John Reeder recorded this commercial.
It's going on now. The biggest footwear fiesta in southeast Missouri. It's the annual July clearance sale at Brooks Factory Outlet Shoe Store in Zenith. This is the sale that enables you to buy from Brooks' entire inventory of summer shoes for all the family at the lowest imaginable prices. For the ladies.
And Bob Miles, who was a longtime mainstay on KBOA, touted the specials at a couple of hardware stores.
The fall rush is on at Moore's Hardware in Kennett and the Whittaker Hardware in Portageville. Your fall needs are all ready for immediate delivery, and listen to these low sales specials. Regular $7 spring-type cotton scales, now $6.25. Dial-type scales are $15.95. Two-burner portable oil cook stoves are $9.25.
Don't buy them like that anymore. Here is the voice of Rudy Pilant, who became affectionately known as Mr. Rudy for a furniture store.
It's the talk of southeast Missouri. What's that? Why, the big money-saving sale now in progress at the Batten Furniture Company in Steele, Missouri.
Folks, some of you may remember this next one, the grand opening of Hamra's Department Store.
It's here, the event you've waited for, the grand opening of Hamra's wonderful new department store in Kennett, Missouri. Next Friday, September 7th, Hamra's will open the doors on Kennett's newest, most modern department store that will feature values never before seen in this territory.
Everyone? We were telling you a little earlier, Chuck Harding was one of the live talents they had here at KBOA in the early days, Chuck Harding and the Colorado Cowhands, and Chuck recorded commercials telling where he was going to be appearing.
This is Chuck Harding speaking to you, and I'd like to tell you where you can find all the Colorado Cowhands every night during the week. On Monday night, you'll find us at the air-conditioned TNT Club, and along with us comes Thad Bullock, the one-man band, along with his drums and his solo vox, piano, and his vocals. Tuesday nights with the B&I Club at Alicia, Arkansas on Highway 67. Come on down. Wednesday night back at the air-conditioned TNT Club. And this Wednesday night along with us comes Jack Stahlkup and his orchestra. We'll break intermission for Jack Stahlkup and his orchestra Wednesday night. Thursday night, the King of Clubs, Poplar Bluff, Missouri. Friday night, back at the air-conditioned TNT Club at Kennett, Missouri. And along with us comes Major Johnson and his all-colored orchestra featuring Baltimore Holmes on the piano and Claude Johnson on the drums. We'll break intermission for Major Johnson and his all-colored band. Saturday night, the air-conditioned TNT Club every Saturday night. And Sunday night, we go to the Hollywood Courts at Morrison, Missouri. That's Sunday night, the Hollywood Courts, Morrison, Missouri. And don't forget, this Wednesday night, it's Jack Stahlkup and his famous recording orchestra at TNT Club, along with ourselves, Chuck Harding and the Colorado Cowhands. Be looking for you, cousin.
Okay, cousin. Chuck Harding. Oh, boy. Here's a man that started at KBOA quite a few years ago, and he's now working in Memphis. Charles B. Watson, known affectionately by a lot of people as Charlie B. He was one of the sports announcers here in the early days of KBOA. He joined the staff in 1950, and has he since gone, as I mentioned, to WHBQ Television in Memphis, Tennessee, where he's a sportscaster now. And he recorded this very scratchy commercial for Sun-Fed Bread.
One of the tests for bread is how it toasts. And ladies, this is where Sun-Fed Bread really comes into its own. When you place that tender slice of Sun-Fed Bread in your toaster, you're just seconds away from toast perfection. You see, the ingredients that go into each loaf of Sun-Fed...
John Mays, who is now the station manager of radio station KBOA, joined the staff as an announcer in 1949. John was born in Elmira, New York, attended high school at Brookfield, Missouri, and he recorded this Kroger commercial that won him an award.
Holiday foods at real bargain prices are awaiting your selection right now at your friendly Kroger store in Kennett and Malden, Missouri. Be sure you stock up now on Christmas specials such as these. Kroger oven-ready Tom turkeys.
I want to apologize again for the scratchiness of some of these, but they were on record the way they used to record commercials here many moons ago. Here's a supermarket or a superette, Jolliffe Superette, that used to be located here in Kennett, and Bob Miles did this commercial.
Every week they sound better and better. They're the low prices on fine foods at Jolliffe Superette on South Jackson in Kennett. Jolliffe says, if you're going to advertise prices, make them hot. And that's what he's doing. So you just listen and compare, and you'll shop Jolliffe's and save money. This week, half gallons of sweet milk, 35 cents. a 6-ounce jar of Maxwell House instant coffee, 99 cents. Cheese-covered corn chips, 300-size can for 5 cents.
You don't buy them like that anymore either, and I don't know when that commercial was recorded, but here's a commercial I think you'll find interesting, too. This is for an automobile they no longer make.
The 1958 Edsel. When you see it, you are sure it's the Edsel. When you drive it, then you know. It's the newest car in the world by far. The engine loaded with go, go, go. When you're out on the highway, the Edsel makes it fun to be alive. See your Edsel dealer and take a drive.
Okay. Oh, boy, I tell you, when you listen to a lot of these commercials, it has a tendency to get you a slight bit tickled. There's been a lot of great people work at KBOA over the years, and it would be virtually impossible to try to name all of them. A lot of people have come, and a lot of people have gone, and there are some old standbys, like Bob Connor, who started with the station, still here. Johnny Mack, who worked for KBOA for some 20 years before moving on to the Arkansas Radio Network in Little Rock, Arkansas. But I think that you ought to remember, too, that the company has been around and the music styles have changed and a lot of things have changed over the years. But we here still strive to bring you information and entertainment. You may not always like all of the music that's played, but of course there's no way that you're going to please everyone. Let's have a little bit more of those old features and jingles that you used to hear here at KBOA.
The biggest hit in Kennedy Town, it's number one. KBOA, keeping you informed. The news is next on 830
Information Radio. KBOA FM 98.9. Here's something. This was an old news intro that we used here just several years ago, as a matter of fact, at KBOA, and it was made by I'll wait and tell you who it is in a second.
KBOA, Information Radio News.
Most of you, of course, remember that voice as belonging to Charles Isbell. Chuck, as we call him, is now station manager and part owner of KBIB at Monette.
And now, through the facilities of KBOA News, we take you directly to the scene of a news occurrence. This report is brought...
This is Charles Isbell at the Class M Regional in Hayfire, Missouri.
This is Jeff Wheeler back at the Class S at Clacton with 5:43 remaining in our ball game.
Young demonstrators have attacked the Viet Cong and North Vietnam embassies in Phnom Penh, Cambodia.
This is Beverly McCoy in the St. Louis office of Merrill Lynch, Pierce, Fenner, and Smith. Reporting for KBOA, Kennett, Missouri.
Good morning. Today is Wednesday, March 11th, 1970. A Portageville, Missouri woman identified as Mary...
KBOA, Information Radio News.
KBOA keeps you posted.
Bulletin, bulletin, bulletin. KBOA Sports-A-Rama.
All right, it's, our time's almost out, and we could go on and on and on, I guess, playing a lot of things, a lot of the old jingles, a lot of the old commercials, and what have you, but our time is completely all gone. Of course, the staff has changed over the years, but we hope that the things we bring you have not changed as far as information is concerned and entertainment. We do our best to keep you entertained, and that's going to do it for Grapevine for this afternoon. And hope you enjoy today's history of KBOA on Grapevine. Stay tuned next for late news from Information Entertainment Radio, KBOA, Kennett, Missouri.